Hello, good morning, how are you? This is Brenda Eshin Shoshana, back with another episode of Finding God at the Kitchen Table. Zen wisdom for your everyday life. And we don't even need the word Zen, wisdom for your everyday life, which means direction, clarity, hope, joy. This is not about rejecting life, entering some transcendent state, being beyond everything. It's going right into the kitchen, right into the kitchen. Especially, this is a very good topic, particularly for Thanksgiving coming up. Here we are, cooking, preparing, going to visit those we care for, and maybe those we have little trouble with, and joining together at the kitchen table. What a wonderful activity to give thanks. We're not just joining together for no reason either. We are joining together to give thanks. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know what's interesting? When they say who is a Jew, which is a big question these days, who is a Jew? The answer comes, he who gives thanks, or she, of course, he or she who gives thanks constantly, gives thanks constantly. Praise, thanks, appreciation for life, for each breath, for each moment. How beautiful. What a wonderful practice to give thanks constantly. See, we are all preparing for a day of Thanksgiving, and that is wonderful that we're dedicating a day to Thanksgiving. And this is a day, maybe 365 days. Thank you to everything, to the sky, to the rain for giving us moisture, to the people we meet. Can you imagine what it would be like if whoever we met, under whatever circumstance, a doorman, a waiter, someone in the delivery room bringing a package, anyone, everyone, we gave thanks. A real thanks, though, a real thanks. There's a difference between, oh, thank you, superficial, robotic thank you, which leaves a person actually more hollow than if you hadn't even said it. It gives you, deep down, there's a little chill. When somebody is just automatic, social, robotic, because we really want to give and receive reality, a real thanks from the heart. And you know, it says words from the heart go into the heart. How wonderful is that? So first we have to connect with our own heart, to speak from the heart. That itself will heal us, others, and probably the whole world. How can we, many, many, many of us, including me, keep thinking, oh my God, what can I do to help? How can I help the tremendous disarray that seems to be going on? And it is going on, of course. I say seems because there's a greater love and harmony available for us all the time. And again, we just have to tap into it from the heart, tap into it and live it. One beautiful teaching, of course, of Zen that they emphasize is that you must actually live it, do it, be it, not think about it, talk about it, read about it, which does not mean don't enjoy it. Reading time on this beautiful matter. I read all the time. I love to read. But don't think that that is a substitute for living and doing it and being it and manifesting what you read, digesting it, absorbing it, and actually living it. That's the central point. And if everybody lived it, it would be very different in their own life to live these principles, made them real, found, looked for a way to actualize them. But if they looked for a way, I don't mean go searching, but was open. Oh, here's a moment of practice. Oh, here's another moment. Here it is. You might not say of practice, but here's a moment to give thanks. Let's just take that one practice to give thanks. Oh, here's a moment. Many things that we don't even normally think we have any reason to be grateful for. Isn't that interesting? We're always focusing on what's hard and what's going wrong and what's disappointing. That's how the brain is wired, it seems. But practice is rewiring, or now wiring or unwiring. And practice is looking at the world through brand new eyes, seeing it as a gift. And as we practice more and more, we just naturally want to give thanks, so filled with appreciation. That's actually a beautiful fruit of practice when it's sincere practice. Sincere, that's such an important word, such an important word and activity. And it's something, unfortunately, that's can be lost in these days when we're everything is so virtual, and we feel sometimes disconnected from the moment, from ourselves, from what's happening. A sincere moment, a wholehearted moment, that is a beautiful way of giving thanks. Beautiful. We don't give thanks just with our words. We give thanks with who we are, how we appear in this world, and how we respond to others. Planting a wonderful garden is a way of giving thanks. Many, many ways. You are probably giving thanks all over the place and don't even realize it. Don't even realize it. It can, and God willing, does become a way of life. Can you? That's the same thing as God at the kitchen table. Let's go into that, because it really warms my heart to talk about that, because it combines the teachings of Zen, it combines the teachings of Judaism, it combines the teachings of Christianity, it combines all the teachings, all of them. And it could possibly, hopefully, that kind of attitude and way of looking at it heal. There's so many of the divisions that we create, we creating these divisions by the way we think, by the way we separate ourselves from one another and separate ourselves from God. And when I use the word God, I also mean enlightenment. I mean spirit. I mean the divine. Some people have a very rough time with the word God. So they may not open to know that. Let's just say this is the divine that we all long for, that fulfills our heart and makes our day beautiful. It's available. It's available. That's what I mean when I say the kitchen table. It's here. It's here for everybody. Nobody is left out of this meal, this feast of life, the banquet of life. If you're here, you're not left out. That's a very big point. So many of us feel excluded, left out, unwanted, rejected. I don't belong. I don't belong in this place. I don't belong in that place. I don't get along. All of that. All of that. Everyone feels that no matter what your practice is. Except, I don't think at the Zendo. I know I never, ever felt that at the Zendo. Never. Everybody belonged at that Zendo where I was. I was going to say where I was raised, and I was like being raised. Exactly. My home. A way to be raised. But that's another matter. We'll talk about that later on. But the truth is, Zendo or not, nobody is left out. Not by God, not by the ultimate, not by the absolute. No, nobody's left out. We leave ourselves out. We reject ourselves. We reject the group. We reject others. Excuse me. And then we say, oh, we're left out of the meal. No, nobody's left out. The doors are open. My teacher once said, the doors are wide open. You can walk right through. Why doesn't anybody take that method? Isn't that beautiful? The doors are wide open to the kitchen table. Why don't we just walk in and help with the cooking? Prepare the feast. Welcome others to the meal. Wow. Be kind to those who are there. This is a very, very important principle. I'm going to use this podcast spend time on the podcast going over some of the main principles, the main pillars of Zen and Judaism and Christianity, everything. Let's say the eternal teachings, the eternal wisdom, eternal. I like that word very much. This is a very important pillar today, and I'm doing this one today because it's Thanksgiving. You could call it tzedakah, which means charity, which means open-heartedness. That's a very big topic, which we'll do more carefully later, but that's connected to the Thanksgiving table. Charity doesn't mean I have more and you have less, and you're lucky if I give to you. That's not charity. No. True charity is an open heart and everybody together, equal, sharing. Nobody's up, nobody's down, nobody is shamed at the kitchen table. There's plenty of food for all, plenty of nourishment for all. And so many feel that they don't have the nourishment they need. They lack this, they lack that. There's not enough for all. Some people think we have to kill many off because there's not enough for all. Horrible. Horrible. This universe and God provides constantly. It's us. We don't realize that we must also be the providers of nourishment for others. As Uchiyama Roshi said, feeding others, we are fed. As you give nourishment, you're receiving it simultaneously. Simultaneously. And that's true. The biggest gift is to be able to give with an open, sincere heart. Nothing feels better. Try it out and see. These principles may be very counterintuitive and different from what we normally believe. But don't believe what you believe. Don't believe what you believe. All these old beliefs. Oh, I need it for me. There's not enough. I'm going to get it first. Oh, all of that. Those are what I call seeds of pain. Believing those kinds of thoughts, we are planting seeds of pain. Let's plant seeds of flowers and fruits and delicious, life-giving gifts. We don't have to, we can take out, weed the garden, take out the seeds of pain that will cause inevitable pain, those hardened beliefs that hurt us and others. One seed produces a lot of fruit. Very fulfilling. So, Thanksgiving. When you go to your Thanksgiving gathering, and even if it's just one person, and even if you may be alone, some of us are alone, so-called alone, it seems apparently alone on this Thanksgiving. I see that among some seniors in where I live. And on one hand, it could look very sad. On the other hand, it's a beautiful opportunity to realize that we're never alone. Never. Never. Who's with us? Even if we are physically by ourselves, can't get out, can't go visiting, whatever. Our Thanksgiving table is never, never bare. If we are willing to offer thanks, now who offers thanks even if we're alone at it? Instead of grumble, go to bed, be upset, be angry, offer thanks. Offer thanks to God, offer thanks to the universe, and dig into yourself and think of all the people all through your life to be grateful for. Offer thanks, prepare something for yourself, and rejoice in your life. That kind of attitude is so uplifting and so beautiful. And before long, if you really persist in it, you will realize there are many unseen visitors at your Thanksgiving table. I love that title, Unseen Visitors. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Always with us. Always with us. Unseen, perhaps. Unrecognized, unnoticed. You know, if somebody actually appears in person very visibly, oh, there you are. But there are others living in our heart, in our mind, in our memory, in other dimensions. We're not really alone or abandoned unless we think we are and believe we are. Take a long walk on the street and just say hello, happy Thanksgiving to whoever else is walking alone on the street. You know, there are many, 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 many possibilities. Prepare a little Thanksgiving food or gift for others who don't have it. You certainly won't be alone then. So this process of finding God at the kitchen table, finding love, finding companionship, finding connection, finding meaning and nourishment, it's a practice and a beautiful practice. So that's why it's important to go over it carefully, different steps, different activities, open doors so we can see ways to just walk through and sit down and prepare a meal and also receive a meal together. So I really, really thank you so much. I do deeply for listening. This has been going on a long time, this podcast. And I keep thinking, oh, it's enough. So many years, it'll be 6 years in March. But then it keeps going. It takes a little turn in the road. It transforms a bit. It alters. And I'm grateful. I give thanks to all of you for listening and the wonderful emails that I receive. Thank you. My email, by the way, is topspeaker@yahoo.com if you need to reach me about anything or want to. And the URL for the podcast is still www.zenwisdomtoday.com. And happy, happy holiday, no matter what the conditions are. Give thanks. That's one of the best ways of turning everything around. Be blessed and have a beautiful day. Bye-bye.